Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello there, and welcome to an encore presentation of Databank Brawl. This is a show we started way back in 2016 and ran all the way through early 2020. The episodes are buried deep in our archives, so we are re-releasing them, starting with episode one.
If you've never heard Databank Brawl, here's the deal. We pick two characters from the Star Wars databank and then make up a deadly fight between them. Pain, shame, and comedy ensue.
Yes, we hope you enjoy the jokes we made on purpose and the random comments about the future of Star Wars, which are now hilariously outdated. So with no further ado, here is Databank Brawl Rewind. As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there, and welcome to Databank Brawl, the podcast where we learn about Star Wars characters, discuss them, and then make them fight for our amusement. I am your host. My name is Joseph Scrimshaw. With me, as always, is Mr. Ken Knapsack.
Great to be here. Great to watch some good Star Wars characters die.
Yep, somebody's gonna die this week. I think our last episode, I was a little floaty about the rules of Databank Brawl, about whether death had to happen, and this week I'm just gonna straight out say one of these beloved characters must die.
Wow.
And the delightful laugh you hear is from our guest that we've been wanting to have on Databank Brawl forever. He's one of our favorite humans, super knowledgeable about Star Wars, and incredibly funny, Mr. Mike Black.
Hi, everybody. Glad to be here.
I'm excited to have Mike here.
Yeah.
This show was created with Mike Black in mind.
Yes. When I was standing on the dunes of Tatooine and, you know, looking at the Twin Suns, thinking about the destiny of Databank Brawl, I knew no matter what, it would lead us to Mike Black.
Yeah, that seems right. That seems a lot of people think about me when they look at the binary sunset. I don't know why. It's very romantic imagery. Me eating pizza rolls.
Those are two just giant pizza rolls in the sky, aren't they?
To me, they are.
Cool. So if you're listening for the first time, and Mike Black, this is the first time you're guesting on Databank Brawl, basically we get the information about two Star Wars characters, usually obscure, weird ones, directly from StarWars.com databank. So it is fresh
accurate canon. Okay. Every once in a while, we look up some Legends Expanded Universe, and we entertain it up to a point, but we'll never make a decision based on Legends.
Okay.
Because we want to learn about these characters as well.
You want official canon to be the final word, then?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And we, when we pull this information off of StarWars.com, we get fascinating insights of, this is what's up on the website right now, so sometimes there's really judgmental, mean stuff about the characters, and that's just delightful to read.
We call it the Pity Dengar Rule.
The Pity Dengar Rule, yeah, because the Dengar's descriptions mean. And then we talk a little bit about it, if we have relationship to these characters, feelings about them, whatever, and then, of course, we fight. So are you guys ready?
I am ready. So. I've got my internet up.
Our first combatant of the day, someone who might die, is Wu Hare, the bartender in the cantina.
Wow.
Now, he's been on my list for a long time. Yeah. I was saving him for a special episode, and Mike Black is here, so that is special to me. Here is what StarWars.com databank has to say about Wu Hare. You didn't survive in the Mos Eisley Cantina by being nice, and Wu Hare was a survivor. The gruff bartender dispensed drinks to the spacers, moisture farmers, and barflies escaping the Tatooine heat, did his best to enforce the seedy bar's handful of rules, no droids, and no settling fights with blasters, and avoided trouble, whether it began with trigger-happy patrons or stormtroopers investigating the latest incident. That's what it has to say about Wu Hare. It's pretty context-based. That's kind of based on his scene. Yeah. There's a little bit to infer that he was super, super pedantic about the rules.
Yeah.
What's your relationship with Wu Hare, Mike Black? Are you a fan of him? Do you own his figure?
I do, because it came with a cardboard version of Mos Eisley that you can assemble.
Yeah, I think it comes with a cup, too, right?
Yeah. And he's got a pointing finger action.
Yeah,
which oddly Harrison Ford has never been given Wu Hare in the movie 30 seconds, and he gets pointing finger.
Yeah, he could say get off my plane.
They're like,
but no.
Well, yeah, we want him to be able to yell his robot racism as easily as possible for the kids, but
we
Han Solo
serve
can't
their
have
kind
it.
Here.
Yeah, your droids will have to leave. I liked him a lot. I had a feeling, just my gut feeling was that him and Uncle Owen got along. Like,
okay.
Like Owen would slip out every now and again and go down to his bar, and then they would talk about how kids suck and how, you know, Tashi's power station was just a pain in the ass.
That makes sense that he recognizes Luke, and that's why he looks like Luke is something he has to scrape off one of the tables later.
Yeah.
He gives Luke that nasty look.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems, he just seems like the old, like, not Barney Miller, Archie Bunker
of
space.
Yeah.
You know? Just so hates everybody.
So you like him, right? You have a way.
I like hating him, okay. I guess, you know?
Yeah. Mm. All right. Right. Mm. I can see that.
Lovable curmudgeon.
Absolutely. You know? How do you feel about him, Ken? You're in your mind, you're a Star Wars barfly. You'd be hanging out at that cantina being served by him.
And I think we have to look up the stats. I think 80% of the databank brawls involve a character from the Mos Eisley Cantina, because most of those people would be the ones that get into fights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no different with Wu Hare to me. I think I grew up calling him Were.
And that might be right.
But Wu Hare seems better. But actually.
Oh, that's all one word?
It's W-U-H-E-R. And I've always said Wu Hare, but it could be just I'm making him French for some reason.
I Googled Wu Hare and don't. just avoid that altogether.
I'm looking at some stuff here on Wikipedia, which again, we don't take this in factor too much into our fight, but the character has gone through some different names. The bartender, Cato Partu, or Cito Partu. The character was later renamed as Wu Hare, and part of the new canon established on April 25th, 2014. But I think the name came way before that.
Yeah, his action figure is named that.
Yeah, so that's incorrect as well. Well, again, why you don't trust wikis as much. They're also saying he was portrayed by British actor Ted Burnett, but that's not his voice. It's dubbed from another actor. Again,
we'll
have to dig and find that up. They also claim that the character was an orphan, worked his way off Tatooine streets. Doesn't factor in, but that's interesting. It could factor into this
Makes
character.
Sense.
He is a homeworld Tatooine species male. No size given, height or otherwise. Hair color brown, eye color brown, skin color. are light, but I would describe it as wrinkly and dusty. they do have a quote, and it is the quote you would want to hear. We don't serve their kind here.
What?
You're droids, so they'll have to wait outside. So my emotional attachment to the character is minimal, surprisingly.
Okay.
He's a very noticeable and well-known Star Wars side character. I liked Han Solo more in that scene. I focused more on him.
Okay.
And as someone who has a little bit of social anxiety walking into a bar, I'm always afraid that someone like him is going to be immediately like not welcome, but like you're causing problems.
Yeah. Barking orders at you.
So I'm not close to this character.
Yeah. See, I have a strong emotional attachment to him. I think for similar reasons as you, but with a different outcome. Is growing up loving Star Wars, I started to get attached to the weird characters, the side characters, and I thought he was fascinating because he's one of the few people in a New Hope is doing just a recognizable Earth job.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really funny and interesting.
But having to do it with monsters, too.
Yeah, but it's the same thing. So I'll have one of those, whatever that is. Like, you know, whatever crappy Tatooine space drink is on special that he's just pulling that tab. And
but you know how, like, people from other countries don't believe in tipping?
Yeah.
It's like that times a million. It's like, please don't eat my other customers because that's not cool here. I don't know what it's like where you live.
Oh, right.
But
he's got these really specific rules. Yeah.
No eating.
And I did relate to him as I went out into the world and discovered, hey, this drinking thing's awfully fun. I think I'll do more of that. He was one of the images in my mind of people are going to look at me like Luke. I related to Luke of like, I bet I come off as innocent and stupid and I'm trying to pretend like I know what the drink I'm ordering is. But I know that guy behind the bar knows I'm a fake. And I had those doubts in that. But as I met more grumpy people like him as I grew up, like, oh, they're just grumpy because whatever happened to them, they're not actually judging me. They don't care about me.
They don't care about you at all. They're busy with their own stuff.
That look is
school hair's working through some stuff.
Are you worth my time?
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to engage with you. It's kind of rude the way you tug my shirt, you little bastard, but fair enough.
Yeah.
I really like the character.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Do we have any other physical stats that we need to know?
Nothing on physical. He doesn't really come with a weapon. As we discussed, Mike, you were telling us that the figure comes with the pointing hand, so that's a weapon in itself. Right?
He can direct you somewhere away from violence,
send
but that's
you
about
away.
It.
Yeah. And I'm intrigued about the no droids rule, but I think that will come up more in our debate.
Doesn't he in the fight, when the fight's actually happening, he just yells out no blasters?
I think he does, yeah.
But so he doesn't duck. He just stands there and yells no blasters, no blasters.
Which technically so we'll get around to that. So this is the Titan who is going to attempt to take down our next combatant is Alon Sleazebegato.
Oh no.
Right before you said it, I had a notion.
I wanted another bar patron from a different bar. And we have the wonderful Alon Sleazebegato. If you don't know who we're talking about, you will in a moment. This is what StarWars.com databank has to say about him. The aptly named Alon Sleazebegato made his living selling death sticks to the patrons of the Outlander Club and other hotspots in the underlevels of Coruscant. Always in search of credits, Sleazebegato targeted both desperate addicts and unwise thrill seekers.
Yeah.
That's our Sleazebegato. So nothing too surprising in there. We did get a little bit of a better understanding maybe of his, that he's not just about death sticks. He's just in search of credits no matter how he gets them. And also that he targeted both desperate addicts and unwise thrill seekers. Kind of gives us a little sense of what the lower levels of Coruscant were like, of like they're truly messed up people who need death sticks. Right. And then they're like people who slum it for a night down at the Outlander Club.
Yeah, and I kind of think not particularly great at his job.
No.
Like, even at who he's targeting, because it's like, at that point, on Coruscant at least, you'd have a pretty good idea of what a Jedi looks like.
Right.
So if you come rolling up to a Jedi and asking him if he wants death sticks, you're not very good at what you do.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, so he has to know what the answer is going to be.
Right,
yeah. It's like, no, is he just trying to get a rise out of other... Is he trying to make death sticks look more cool by offering them to a Jedi? And then the Jedi's like, no, death sticks are stupid. All the cool kids will be like, well, I don't want to listen to Jedi.
I have one.
Yeah, I need a death stick then.
Okay.
What do we got on Alon Sleazebegato, Ken?
He's 1.78 meters tall, mass 70 kilograms. He's a male from the planet Balosar. Again, we go with canon. So what I'm about to say, it probably not canon. I'm on my phone. I'm not on my computer, so the tabs are confusing to me. So the quote, of course, is, you want to buy some death sticks? You want to sell me death sticks. I don't want to sell you death sticks. You want to go home and rethink your life? I want to go home and rethink my life. That we know. That we know. Ilan Sabagano. They've changed his name now.
What bull.
No.
Also known as Ilan Sleazebagano, was a Balasar medical student on Coruscant, who fell in with a bad crowd. He eventually became a Slithmonger and dealt death sticks in the Outlander Club, which is where he meets Obi-Wan. So I'm going to skip ahead again.
Slithmonger?
A Slithmonger.
That's a door I'm not opening right now.
Yeah. Again, he became addicted to his own product. These are what you just don't do. So we'll skip ahead. It goes, after being mind-tricked by Kenobi in the Outlander Club, he went home and completely rethought his life. He managed to break his death stick addiction and swore off the Slithmongering business. None of that I'm accepting as canon.
I do not accept
right
that
now.
As canon, because what that means is the Jedi know they can end drug addiction in an afternoon by just going to the lower levels of Coruscant and just saying, don't do drugs anymore. And they just don't bother.
Yeah.
I can't accept that as canon.
Sorry,
the Jedi are not
I
that
I had
evil.
To read that because I That's never hilarious. Really dove into this character. And it's wow.
Can you describe
well,
a little bit what
they have
he,
an influence over the weak-minded. They might not be able to get everyone.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's true.
You know, they'd be able to get a couple guys like him.
Right, but people who are know. Like, I need death sticks to write my great novel.
Right.
Yeah.
They're going to be
fair enough.
A little more willful about it. But he did tell him to do that, and he did leave the bar. So we know he at least got out of the bar. He at least made it that far before turning around and starting
immediately,
over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you give a little bit of a physical description of him? Because I think people probably don't have his picture in mind as much as they have.
Yeah, you know, he looks as though he's a Ren Faire hipster. He's got this long trench coat. He's got a nice, simple undershirt that's a button-up with a collar. He's got looks like almost a choker, but it might be a part of a cape or the part of the jacket goes up around the neck. His hairstyle, he's reminiscent of Cary Elwes early in his career.
Okay.
He had a future before falling off into the underworld of death sticks. Simple white-looking kid, the typical medical student turned drug user.
Am I remembering correctly that he has some sort of little horns or antennae?
He does have antennae in the movie, but in this picture on the Wikipedia, he doesn't have that. But yes, he has something in the movie.
He has antenna.
I
want
to say like if Smurfs had antenna. I forget.
Yeah, like little fleshy antennae.
They have little.
I'm looking at it right now here in a picture. Yep.
Cups at the end.
Yeah.
Not balls, but cups.
Yeah. You know, like, he's not one of those balls tentacles head.
No.
Yeah. Sucker tentacles. No. It's classic alien type of looking.
Oh like, yeah. They're taller than I remember.
Yeah. They're very prominent.
And yeah.
And he's got some facial hair going on.
They're like disrupt you at a concert tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to sit behind really Ilan Sleazebagano.
Yeah.
When you go to see Fingering Dan the Modal Nodes play. All right, Mike Black, emotional relationship to Ilan Sleazebagano. Did you remember him before this podcast?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remembered him because that was one of my favorite parts of the movie.
Yeah.
Was just that whole sequence in the bar. And it was nice seeing like how a young Obi-Wan operated. Even back then, he was still pretty cool in how he dealt with people, you know, like he was still pretty even tempered, you know, and just saw the guy as a minor nuisance and didn't, you know, waste a lot of time preaching to him or anything like that. Just
right.
Dealt with him quickly and then moved on, you know, and I of course didn't know the character's name at the time, but when they finally made a figure of him, I thought that name is perfect.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty much it for my emotional attachment to him.
How about you, Ken?
I have to admit that I really liked that scene.
Yeah.
I like a lot of things in that bar there. I always joke about Kenobi. He just wants a drink, and he was, of course, he knew about this club. And, and I liked that scene. I can't deny it. When I saw it the first time in theater, I laughed out loud. The audience did.
Yep.
You got out of the movie, and I hate the prequels and everything, but that moment got me. The character, when I discovered the character name, it was an eye roll, but it was like a
good eye roll.
It was like, of course, George named.
Hammerhead exists, so
yeah.
It's, you know,
there was something about it. Was it was it corny? Yes, but it was funny, and it was a lived-in, real moment. Death Sticks is a stupid name. Of course it is.
Yeah.
But in some regards, so is Skywalker. So I just said Skywalker and Death Sticks are in the same category. Yes, I did. But I liked it.
I actually, you know, I kind of liked Death Sticks because it was a very no BS way of saying this is what I think about smoking. Right. You know, it was like, they're just Death Sticks. Yeah. You're paying for death. You know?
Yeah, it's just, it's obviously a drug. Yeah. And I'm glad it wasn't.
And I thought,
like,
you know, in an all family movie, not a bad way to go. You know?
Yeah. And they sounded like cigarettes, but now this description, it sounds much more like they're much and more intense drug of some kind. Yeah, I think that's a great way to say it about the whole character and the scene. It was like being hit over the head with a gentle, soft, fun mallet, you know? Because it's like, yes, Sleaze Vegano, it's so over the top. I have to love it. You know, it's up there with Savage Opress of the most ridiculous name in Star Wars, but it's appropriate. And I do love the way Obi-Wan is being, he wants a drink, but he's also just being that perfect Obi-Wan tactician of like, that Zam Wessel will attack me if I'm just drinking at the bar. And the way he says it to Anakin with such pleasure of, I'm going to get a drink. And I think might be relevant to the fight. I love the performance of Sleaze Vegano when he says the, I want to reconsider my life. He does this little magician's role where he tucks the Death Sticks back into his hand and they just go away right away. And it's great to see that immediate physical reaction to the mind control. It gave it flair. So I've been a big fan of Sleaze
Vegano. But you notice he
didn't
throw them away. just tucked them away.
Slithmonger.
Because he didn't say, go change your life. He said, reconsider it. Okay, so I think we know everything we need to about Wuhair and Ilan Sleaze Vegano. So now, let us fight.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So, the first thing we're going to decide is, where is this bar, this fight taking place? I had a Freudian slip and said bar. As I said that, it's obviously taking place in some kind of bar, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, it isn't a bar, but it's not the Mos Eisley Cantina.
No, no.
We're not on Tatooine this time, guys.
No.
Yeah.
We're here after the events of New Hope and the changing galaxy, decided I've had enough and I want to take a little bit of vacation. I've earned this. I've earned this vacation. So he, right after he heard the Death Star exploded, he had no idea who did it, of course, not the kid he about kicked out of his bar. He booked a trip with a local travel agent on Tatooine and headed towards the center of the galaxy, the place he'd never been. He's been outer rim his whole life. And he looked at the star maps and he thought, should I go to Hosnian Prime? It's a still developing planet.
Yeah.
There was Harloff Minor was nearby there. And he thought about I'm going to go where the action is. I'm going to go. It's like someone in our time saying, I'm finally going to New York. And he went to Coruscant.
Right. He knows that there are sights to see. And he knows if I just want to be a grump and work in a bar and sneeringly judge people and be as racist as I want to droids, what a great place to do that.
This is the place. It's Coruscant.
Yeah. So, Mike Black, do you think he's just a tourist or do you think he opens up his own new bar?
Probably more like he's scouting to open a new bar. You know, like move there, get the lay of the land first, and then open a bar.
Right. I like that.
Okay, so I think he goes to a bar and is a little already perturbed that there are droids there, because I think this is particular to him. I think he's got a weird issue. Yeah. I think 4LM or 4LM, I think, shot him in the leg once. I think he hates droids.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. In fact, the prequel to this fight is he where we're at now. He actually, one of his first meals, he went into the Dexter's Diner. And the fact that a droid came up to him.
Rolled up on him.
You want some Jawa juice? He was like, what the hell is this? And got up and just walked.
I certainly do not.
Yeah. Good day, man.
I will take my credits elsewhere.
Yeah. I don't eat in places like this.
Writing a letter to your boss.
So he's full of droid racism theory.
Yeah.
Wishing he could install
the big city is already upset him.
Oh, yeah. Already.
Already. Why did I even come here? All right. So he's in there. And I think at this point, a much older Alon Sleezbegano comes in. And I think he has broken his habit of enjoying death sticks himself, but realizes these are lucrative.
Yeah.
He's even figured out how to really water them down. He's like, I just need to get like one or two non-scary people hooked.
Right. Yeah. Well, this is the days the Empire's still going. Yeah, they've had a blow dealt with them with the destruction of the first Death Star. But this is in the old times when he was selling death sticks as a young medical student. The Republic was still going. The Empire takes over. There's a lot more caps on trade and tariffs and taxes. And it's, as we've seen in the Rebels cartoon, the Empire's reach goes far and wide and low. It goes low.
So the balls of Coruscant.
Right. Yeah. So the death stick trade level, it's a little more dangerous, but it's a little more necessary. It's the only way, unfortunately, that he knows how to make a living. So he's definitely still a dealer.
Yeah. No Jedi around to stop you now.
Right.
So I think, Mike, that he walks up to Wuhair. I think he sees
a total
Coruscant tour. Like, he's over here. And look at this guy yell about droids like they do on some backwards Outer Rim planets. I'm going to hook him for life. I'm going to set him up in one of my death stick dens. He's never going to leave. He's just going to make me money. So how does talk us through Elon making the approach to Wuhair. How does that initial interaction go?
Yeah, I think he sees him, you know, reading one of the local maps, trying to find some place to go. And he's, you're looking for entertainment, that sort of thing. I know a place, you know, it's one of those sort of deals. Yeah. Like, come with me. I know down this corridor here. And have you ever heard of death sticks? What do you think of those? I don't care for them, but I, you know, they have these newer ones now that don't even have half the effects of the old ones.
Right.
Just so much better. And, they're tasty now. They actually have a flavor to them that they didn't have before. You look like you eat. You're a bit of an eater. They're delicious. Now, I don't have any myself, but I know a guy who could get us some. And it'd be great. Do you like ladies? They have ladies. What species? You just let me know. Any species you like, they have those kind there.
Double for Twi'leks, though. Double for Twi'leks.
Always double for Twi'leks.
Yeah. And I think he's fine because I think he likes the Thorian ladies.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Thorian ladies are very calm and peaceful, never caused any problems back on the canteen in Tatooine.
You know, what they don't have is droids. You're not going to find any droids at this place. Just a nice, mellow death stick buzz and a few fine ladies to look at.
So, Ken, is Wuhair into this pitch or does it piss him off?
He turns around and he's listening. His pitch is going and he's got his rap down. And Wuhair just looks at him slowly and he's got that crust. He's still got those crusty sideburns. The sand from Tatooine is still falling out of his hair, and he just looks at him and just kind of stares and goes, what's with the things on your head? And that's all he says, just stares daggers through him.
Okay. And I think Sleezbegano at this point knows I'm getting older. I'm off my game. I thought this guy was an easy mark, and he's starting with conflict, and he's starting with the personal. He's not even saying I'm not into death sticks. He's just like, your tentacle,
right,
your head tentacles are stupid.
Right.
Your antennae are dumb. And I think maybe Alon is like, I'm so sorry. Maybe I could make it up to you by ordering you a drink. And he calls over yet another droid server.
Oh,
yeah.
And at this point, Wu Hair has just had it. And I think he just stands up and says,
"You put a droid in my face?"
And he gives him a nice, I think actually, you know what? He flicks the antenna with his finger.
And you don't do that.
I think that hurts. I think those are sensitive. Testicles.
They're basically antenna. You know,
they're very sensitive.
Very sensitive to everything.
Yeah, and I think he flicks him, and he flicks Elon Slezbegano's antenna and sends him into embarrassing cries of agony mid-bar.
Which would lead him to pull out whatever the closest thing to a derringer they have in the Star Wars galaxy is, like a one-shot blaster.
So you think Elon has like an ankle holster?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He absolutely has an ankle holster.
Needs it. He's been down to 1313. Yeah. He needs that.
Yeah. Okay. So you think he just drops blaster on him?
Yeah.
Just immediately.
Wu Hair instinctively yells, "No blasters!"
Right.
But it's his other rule. It's too late. The first shot has been fired.
And I think at this point, just for safety, even though there's only ever been one lightsaber incident in the cantina, he also says, "And no lightsabers, just in case."
As an amendment to my earlier rule.
So do you think, Mike, do you think Elon's fast enough? Do you think he actually hits Wu Hair?
Fast enough, but not accurate enough.
Oh, that's fair. That's
so they're standing right next to each other, and Wu Hair is a gentleman of size, but he still misses.
He hits the meat. But nothing vital, you know.
Right, oh, okay. Right. And Wu Hair's like, "I can take that all day."
Yeah.
Well,
this isn't the first time he's been shot at all, even remotely.
Right. And so the shot, you're right. Like it hits Wu Hair, but maybe like upper arm into maybe some neck meat.
Yeah.
And Wu Hair yells, "You're some kind of Greedo." Like he's just like laughing. He's laughing at him now. He's amused.
Yeah, maybe he cracks his knuckles. Like, this is gonna be fun.
And I think he
like
picked
my old
up.
Days.
I think he picked up a catchphrase that he says now whenever he gets into a fight. And he says, "I gotta say this in advance. Sorry about the mess." And then just plows him. Just meets fists like matured hams. Pound into Elon's face.
Maybe holding him by the antennas and punching him in the face.
Like just full Looney Tunes cartoon beating.
Hardcore.
The bar has stopped.
Yeah, because Slezbegano, he trades on being like elegant, right?
Right.
He's like, "I'm a sleazebag, but I'm an elegant sleazebag. I can show you a good time. Like I got a little magic trick. I'm twirling my death stick." So this is horrible for him. There's nothing elegant about what's happening.
No, there's blood flying off.
Just
his
a
teeth.
Brutal beating.
Yeah. It's just it's punching. It's punching.
He's not even
punching.
Varying from face. He's not even doing body blows. Yeah. Right. It's just okay.
No, we're
hearing the starts of sentences in between each punch. Well, let me. But
I'd reconsider my.
Yeah.
Okay. So does Elon keep firing? I think Elon keeps firing. I don't think he's. I think now it's accurate and inaccurate. Wild.
He's
I think people are
around.
Ducking.
Yeah.
I think there's probably an anti blaster droid. That's like basically just a giant shield that's trying to roll up.
Right.
Yeah. I think Slezbegano, though, has to rebound here.
Right.
Yeah.
Flight or fight instincts take over. Survival instincts. And I think he goes with what he was bullied in medical school, so he knows this trick. He goes with a swift kick to the groin.
Right.
Yeah.
What you did to my head, I'm going to do to your lower regions.
It's only fair.
Right.
And I think that breaks Wu Hair's grip.
Yeah.
And then I think he's got death sticks on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think whatever is in death sticks is deadly.
Oh, yeah.
It's not friendly. And I think if he can get a death stick out, break it open, and put it in Wu Hair's eye,
his
only chance for survival.
Going foreign substance.
He's going foreign substance.
80s like, wrestling here now. Okay.
Yeah, like maybe you can ingest it internally, but you don't want it in your eye. Like you wouldn't want like meth crystal rubbed in your eye. I think that's basically what it
true
is.
True point.
I thought you were going to go like a whole pack in his mouth or something like that. And
just
shut it.
Shoving him.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, let's say he's going to try to get a death stick in every head orifice. Up the noses in the ear. Up the noses. Up the up nose the nose. In the ears.
Wrong species.
Sound like I've had some death sticks. Yeah. Okay. So I think he manages to get some there in there. Yeah. And it's fight or flight. And I think this is what really determines. I think he manages to jam some death sticks in there with his quick little magician hands.
Sure. Yeah, he's got some skills.
Wu-Hair, however you pronounce it, is startled. Now, Elan could go in for the kill or he could run for his life. What do you think he does?
I think he runs. I think he gets up to run. But that doesn't mean Wu-Hair isn't going to recover enough to make some final steps.
Yeah, so now we're right at the... Go ahead.
I have a question at this point.
Yeah.
Is there solid canon on the effects of death sticks?
Not that I am aware of.
I'm going to have to...
So, yeah, he might be seeing...
If it's angel dust...
Right, true.
It turns the fight around completely.
So, yeah, he might be seeing, like, an Eopie riding a bantha. Like, who knows what weird crap he's seeing.
Exactly.
So, at this point in Data Bank Brawl is when I like to pause, because we're really near the end of telling our narrative, and find out where we're at with the panel.
Right.
Who do you think should win? Because the other person, as we've decided this episode, is going to die.
Yeah. So I think one of these, both have lived a long life.
Yeah.
But one has lived a longer, harder, tougher life. And sometimes in these stories of great epic tales, just because you lived that long, tough, harder life doesn't mean it ends the way you wanted it to end. I think Wu-Hair is going to bite the Tatooine dust.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you agree, Mike Black?
I would have to agree. No, even if he does go angel dust and where he's like got 5 minutes of invincibility,
yeah,
he might put him in the hospital, but he's still gonna his heart will explode afterwards or something like that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Okay, I'm down.
I think
with
it's
that.
A tough fight, no matter what. Like it's tougher than when we first introduced these characters. I thought it would be. But I think it's a real knockdown, drag out, and like one of them's just barely walking away and the other one's going in the ground.
Yeah, I think this is morally the correct decision. Elan has attempted to reconsider his life. He might again after he's been pounded in the face.
Yes.
Wu-Hair has been just hating on droids for decades now.
Yeah, right.
And he has never changed. So I think narratively, we got Elan's screaming out of there. He's trying to survive. Yeah. And Wu-Hair being stubborn is running after him. What do you think happens next, Ken?
I think they get just outside the door. Wu-Hair and Sleaze Bagano, he's panicked. He's bumping into things and creatures. Wu-Hair, in his angel dust like state, does get a hold of him and starts pounding him again. But it's at a rate, he's building up, his heart rate's building up.
Right.
A lot of things are happening here. And I think that's what's happening, at least right now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. What do you think happens next, Mike?
I think his heart explodes, like, real hard.
Yeah.
Like, and in a not fun, funny way. Yeah. Just like, oh, like one of those.
I think, if I may, Joseph, as Sleaze Bagano's being punched and punched and punched and punched, the final, it's like, it's almost like the finish him blow is coming. And Wu-Hair has him, and the fist is coming up, and Sleaze Bagano is flashing back all the moments in his life. Course in medical school, the first time he tried a death stick, first time he sold a death stick, the meeting with that weird mulleted guy in the bar at one point, the night Sam Wessel died, they all remember that night.
It's a song now,
the night Sam Wessel died. They all have a drink once a year. All that's flashing in his eyes, and as the fist is coming down, Wu-Hair just stops.
Yeah. And here's
lets him go. Falls.
Here's what I think is the last thing that Wu-Hair sees. I think he's got strange visions. It's mostly of blasters and droids, the two things he hates more than anything.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then his vision's starting to clear. He's starting to maybe be able to focus on this little bastard he needs to murder. And right around this time, the Empire is in control of Coruscant, but I think this is pre-rebellion.
Yeah.
And I think Bail Organa is on Coruscant.
Oh, wow.
And of course, with him is his droid, C-3PO.
Right.
One of the droids.
Yeah.
The very same droids that he kicked out.
Yeah, that Wu-Hair has hated more than any.
Yeah.
And I think something's wrong. Everything's blurry. He gets everything crystallized for a moment. He sees the little bastard he's trying to punch. And then he looks up and he sees this obnoxious prissy droid. And the droid just says, "Oh my." And that's bam. His heart explodes. His heart explodes.
The last words he hears. Yeah. Oh my.
Oh my. And all vision had faded away. And he saw the 3PO that he saw in the bar. It was the same, but it was a new 3PO that everyone else saw and heard. But Wu-Hare was seeing the old 3PO and heard that voice, and he was back home. He had died, but mentally, he was floating off into the ether back home.
Excellent. Then that is our tale of bars and death in that great galaxy far, far away. Dying's fun. We're going to have to do more for sure death here on Databank Brawl. We're going to wrap up,
Fatality.
Though. Ken, where can people find you?
At Ken Napsok across all social media platforms. And you can find me writing poems about bartenders across the galaxy.
Excellent. And Mike Black, where can people find you? Anything you want to plug?
At Mike Black Attack. And I'll be at the Improv tonight. Does this, I don't know.
This will be a little while later. But there's a good chance you're at the Improv anyways.
Yeah. I do the nighttime show there. And I'm at the Comedy Store a lot too. So.
Awesome. You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram is at Joseph Scrimshaw. You can follow all my comedy adventures and shows and whatnot on my website, josephscrimshaw.com. You can like Force Center on Facebook and follow us on Twitter as at Force Center Pod. And until next time, as Luke Skywalker once said while no one was really listening to him, I care. That's it for Databank Brawl.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.